Well, I appreciated the warm-up, you guys. I'm going to actually come down and be with you on the floor a little bit. It's a little bit intimate morning, a little bit more chairs in the day. Good for you guys to be here today, to be together. Everybody take a deep breath with me. How does that feel? It feels pretty good, doesn't it? It's been a little crazy. Don't you say every year it's not going to be crazy? And it is? So how are you? How are you doing right now? That's such an interesting question, right? How are you doing right now? I'm actually kind of famous and infamous in my colleagues and my family for not knowing the answer to that question. We're not super reflectful, you and I, that we often don't really know how we're doing. We don't know somewhere along the line, a spiritual director helped me and just said, how do you not know? How are you not, like, you're in ministry. How do you not know how you're doing? Because what I would find is that when somebody would say to me, so how are you? And I realized they were serious. They'd be like, no, I mean you. Like, how are you? I would think to myself, this is the answer that popped into my head. Okay, confession time. This is the answer. Somebody says, how are you? This is the answer that pops into my head. How is that relevant? Does anybody resonate with that? In other words, in my mind, the answers could range from, how is that relevant? Like, I have things to do. How is that relevant? I don't have time to get in touch with some of the stuff, maybe even some hard things that might come up if I ask that question. How is that relevant? I don't know. I'm crushing it. That's what matters. Everybody around me thinks I'm doing well. That's all that matters. How are you? I don't know. People think I'm good. You guys, after a season like this, we need to use those muscles, as Ben said, of reflection. And not only say, how are we doing? But we have to ask the question, how am I paying attention to myself and to my relationship with God? You know, there's an old story. Hi, Abe. Come on down right in the middle of my sermon. No problem. Glad to have you guys. You only get mocked in our church if you're a veteran. That's what I'm saying. There's an old saying that in our denomination's history, where the early covenanters, this was what defined them in their movement when they got this thing started. They were Lutherans in Sweden centuries before. And when the covenant started, these guys, these men, these women were so committed to their relationship with Jesus, their walking with God, that they would pay so close attention that when they greeted one another, their fellowship was not like, how is your week? Who is in town for Christmas? Their fellowship was, how goes your walk? It was always about that being the defining nature. How goes your walk? In other words, they were practicing paying attention to, how's your heart? How's your walk with God? How's he speaking to you? How's he leading you? What's the nature and the state of your relationship with him right now? Isn't that good? And we just need some time to have that happen for us. So, you know what? Just kind of thinking about that idea of you know, that we're not that good at intentionally checking in, being present with our relationship with God and with who we are. This week, I want to talk about the art and science of paying attention. The art and science of paying attention. Paying attention to our spiritual life, to our walk with God, to our heart, and how we're actually doing. Because it is a muscle that we need to strengthen. Paying attention. How are you doing? Where's God with you right now? What's he saying? There's a word in the scripture that is a great word for this, and it's the word behold. It's the word behold. Isn't that a good word? The word behold, we'll talk about that a little bit more in a minute. It's all over the New Testament, Old Testament. Here's an Old Testament verse from Psalm chapter 121. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, behold is what that word is in the Hebrew. He who watches over Israel will neither slumber or sleep. Isn't this good? It's like, behold, pay attention, he's not going to leave you. Behold, he's not sleeping, and he's gonna be present in your life. New Testament verse, super fitting for us in the season we just came through in this Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, in the King James, and there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Do you not just love this passage, especially in the Linus version, King James version. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which shall be for all people. For today unto you a Savior is born in the city of David, which is Christ our Lord. Behold, the angel comes and goes, behold, pay attention. This is the good news. One I didn't put up there is John the Baptist said to his disciples when he saw Jesus, behold, pay attention, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Let's behold. Let's pay attention to this. This word behold is so good, you guys, but the sad part about the word behold is you hardly ever see it in your NIV modern translation. This word behold in the Old Testament and the New Testament, in Hebrew and in Greek version of it, is in your Bible, the original Bibles, 1,260 times. Is that crazy? Behold, 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 1,260 times, 664 of those times it's untranslated because we don't have a way of doing that, of talking about it. It may be, that actually might be evidence that we're not good at it in our modern world. We're not good at beholding, stopping, paying attention. But it is a Hebrewism that means just that. It means this. It means look, look. It's translated look a lot in the NIV. Look, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. But it's more than that. It's more like everything should stop. Behold, today a Savior has been given to you. Stop. Look. Open your eyes, it also means. See this. Don't miss this. Isn't that good language for us? Stop and don't miss these incredibly important things. So this is why we're going to talk about the art and science of paying attention. And I want to ask you guys a couple of questions as we get into this. First, what is the key to paying attention? What's the key to paying attention to your relationship with God, to your heart, to where He is in your life, to what He's saying? What do you think is a key to paying attention? Yeah, Diane.
Focus.
Focus is a great, great word. In fact, that is exactly the right word. It's about intentionality. It's about focus. In fact, the next question related to that is then how can we remove these distractions, right? Because the opposite of focus is distraction. How do we remove these distractions? How do we get quiet and get focused? Anybody have any ideas?
Yeah.
Meditation, right? We quiet ourselves and be intentional about what's happening in our mind. What else? How else do we remove distractions?
Sabbath.
Good. What else? Yep, in the back.
Creating
time specifically for Him. These things that you guys are talking about, these are ancient Christian practices that Christians have always done to get us to quiet and focus. This is the question now that we're going to answer the rest of the time. What are the ancient Christian practices that get us quiet and focused so that we can pay attention? What are those ancient Christian practices that get us quiet and focused? Because this is exactly it. If paying attention is important, behold Him. Behold Him. Then we have to remove distractions. We have to be intentionally focused. And we have to do some things that will get us to that place. I wish I could just say, it gets easier from here, this message. But it doesn't, because we're not good at paying attention. But the Christian church, starting with Jesus and His followers, well, before that, the Jews learned to put things in their life that would help them get quiet. Breathe and focus. Pay attention. Behold that God was in our midst and was in our lives. So now I want to spend a little bit of time talking about what those practices might be, you guys. So tell me some of them. What are some of the practices, do you think, that the Christians have done forever that get us to this place of paying attention? Let's talk about a few. Yeah.
Repetition.
What's that?
Repetition.
What do you mean repetition?
Speaking God's word again and again and again, maybe until it's ingrained in your heart and your head.
Okay, let's talk about the word. I think the word is definitely a thing, right? Mm-hmm. Meditation, reflection, study, repetition is part of a meditation. It's where we get into God's word. And it helps us pay attention. Why? How does it help us? In your experience with having a discipline in God's word, how does that help you pay attention to what God's doing? Yeah. It recenters, I'm going to repeat for everybody. It recenters you so that when you're anxious or whatever you're feeling, actually, it brings you back to God being at the center of your life rather, and this is what was so beautiful what you said, rather than all the circumstances around. So God's word focuses us on that way. A bunch of the disciplines do that. God's word does that very specifically because it brings us back to what is true. Okay, now listen. This is a word for somebody, and we're going to go through a few of these things before we're done this morning, but I want you to be listening for one of these practices that you feel that thing in your heart where you're like, oh, actually, I need to add that to my life this year in some manageable, meaningful way. That's not going to be an utter failure by the second Friday of January. Is that Quitter's Day? Is that what they call that day? But some of us need to hear that word, that being in God's word helps us pay attention to what is true. We learn about what is true about God. That's why the scriptures say, behold, he, the God of Israel, does not slumber or slip or sleep. He will not let your feet slip. He will be present with you. To just know that God is present with us is an ongoing affirmation of what is most true, right? When we get built, when we get lost in all of our shame, we get lost in all of our failures. We're in the scriptures and we read about unconditional grace, that even while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we're like, oh, we can't do anything to make him love us less. And we can't do anything to make him love us more. And so that's the truth that we embed ourselves in. That's so good. Yeah, so the word, both meditation and reflection on it, study, and I probably should have put the word, probably didn't have enough space on the template, but should have put the word application, where we read God's word and it speaks to how we live our lives. And that centers us and focuses us. That's a great way to pay attention, that we're in God's word. Do you have a discipline of being a practice? It's a better word than discipline probably, because we all go like this when we talk about discipline. Do you have a practice of being in God's word daily? There's so many ways to make this doable. We want to help you do that, but maybe that's something that you start. Okay. What else? So this is the word. The word is one of the things, that one of the ancient practices that help us pay attention to how we're doing and how we're doing with God. What's another one?
Prayer.
What's that?
Prayer.
Let's do prayer. Let's talk about prayer for a minute. You guys, there's so many ways to pray. I put up there centering and listening prayer because there's so many ways to pray. First of all, we all know the one way to pray, which is asking God for stuff and talking to God. That's so good, and it focuses us, and we were able to be like, well, here I am, God. Here's the real me. This is really good for people like me. How are you doing? I don't know. How's that relevant? I don't have time to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Just talking to God, being present. One of the things in my rule of life is that every day I will sit quietly with God, and I will tell God what's on my heart. I'll just be honest. And this is the time I do get in touch with my fears and my anxieties and my grief and my shame and all that stuff that I don't really want to think about all day, but I'm going to. So just talking with God, and then I'm also going to tell God if I'm present and I'm still dealing with my worry over blank. Insert your names, by the way, in that. It's you that I'm worried about. But I'm like, okay, here it is. This is what I'm carrying. Let me not pretend I'm not carrying it. Let me not pretend that I'm not worried about my kid. Let me not pretend that I'm not anxious about the future. Let me not pretend. Like, let me just be present. See how that's paying attention? This is these muscles we have to exercise, right? And we have to engage with. And so prayer is talking to God for sure. But there's also these kinds of prayer, other ways of prayer, centering prayer, which is something, Carly, that you, kind of like you're relating to, that there's this idea of centering, of coming back. If you Google centering prayer, like you'll actually find some pretty good stuff. There's ways in which Christians forever have learned to focus on God. In fact, classic centering prayer is literally having one word or one phrase where you can sit quietly with God and just center on that truth. It's very meditative. It can be in God's word. It can be Jesus Christ is Lord. Or you are good. Think about spending 5 minutes of your, no, 2 minutes of your day just going, you are good. You are good. That already begins to feel healing to some of us who have misconceptions about our Father in heaven, who have had tragedy in our lives where we've learned to maybe not trust him, where we wonder if we do give our lives to him, we're going to see something difficult come our way that maybe we don't think we have what it takes to get through. And we're not sure that he'll protect us because we look around and he doesn't stop all bad things from happening. But you are good. Some people center on the word Jesus. Jesus. Does it already just feel good to your soul? Just right this very moment? Right? Centering prayer, listening prayer. Listening prayer, one of the things that I do in my prayer time is to say, Lord, if you have anything to say to me, you want to bring up anything for me, I'm ready to hear from you. And I jot stuff down, some of it's craziness from my own brain. Some of it's like, I think I'm hearing this, but I don't really know what that means to do about it today. And then a couple days later, I'll go, oh, that's that thing. And often I don't hear anything, but I'm listening, not just talking. Anyway, does that inspire you a little bit? Do you see how that, if we tapped into those things, if we tapped into prayer, if we put 5 minutes of prayer in our life and did two or three things like that? I just gave you three ideas, right? Center, tell them what's on your heart, right? Just put some of those things in our lives that it would help us pay attention to how we're doing and where's God in our life. Good. So we got the word, we got prayer. What else? Yep. And worship, yeah. I'm going to come back to worship in a minute. Will you remind me? Okay? And if I start looking like I'm wrapping up a little bit, I want you to wave your hand, okay? We're going to come back to that in just a minute. Good. What's another kind? What else helps us practice paying attention to God?
Geography.
Okay, geography. Being in the like a space. A place and a time. Having a quiet time, a place and a time. That's so good. One of the men's retreats we went to years ago, a bunch of guys in this room were there. The speaker challenged us, said, where's your chair? Find your chair. Where's your chair? Like, that's the place that you go to be with God. And you have an appointment with that chair. I'm not that rigid about a particular... Well, I guess I kind of am, actually. But you don't have to be. But a time and a place to do it. Good. What else?
Sharing,
talking about your faith, perfect. That gets you in touch, pays attention to how you're doing with God because you're dependent on him. Any kind of service does that. Yeah. In fact, I'd say community. I got one of the ones I put up here was community. Community is a way of sharing. It's sharing our faith with one another. We often think of Christian community. We're sharing our faith with people who are maybe already believers. How does being in Christian community help you pay attention to how you're doing and where you're at with God? Yeah, Alicia?
Accountability.
Okay, the accountability word, I hate that word. Anybody else love that word? Anybody else hate that word? Let's break it down a little bit. What do we mean by that? What do we mean by accountability?
Responsibility.
Okay, that you're taking some responsibility. But when we talk about community and we talk about being in that, oh, there's a function that there that's accountability. What I remember is being in college and my roommates yelling at me for not being perfect. I remember that. That was good accountability. And I learned to lie to them. How are you doing, Jeff? Great. Now, I'm being facetious about accountability. It's so good because what we're really talking about, you guys, is that the person we want to be when we share that with other people, our hopes and our dreams, they blow wind into our sails. That's what accountability is. Hey, Trevor, didn't you say this is what you wanted to do this year? How's it going? How can I come alongside you? God brought you to mind. I've been praying for you. How about every Tuesday morning, I shoot you a text to remind you that you wanted to do yada, 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 right? That's better than accountability. It is accountability, Alicia. Good offer. But that's what community is about. Yeah. All right. These are great practices, you guys. There's a few more. Few more practices I'm sure that we could think of. Jim?
Fasting.
I didn't put fasting up there because I hate it. Let's do a version of fasting. Let's talk about Sabbath. Let's talk about Sabbath, because Sabbath is the time where we set aside special time to focus on God, and we give up some things usually in that time. Typically, we give up work, right? Do you love that photo, by the way? What if to pay attention, you guys? What if to pay attention, we took some time in our week? Some families are figuring out how to do a whole day, like the Jews did forever, like early Christians did forever. But to set aside some time to turn off our chiming devices and our media and to be present. So good. It's so good. Do you feel the shame that I do sometimes of being like, okay, everything's done that I need to get done today, or it's not, and I'm just exhausted, so I'm just going to sit down and I just reach for a device. Do you do that? That's the opposite of paying attention to how you're doing. And we're going to do that, and that's going to be great. And thank God for all of our streaming platforms. So fun. But intentionally, to pay attention, we would practice something like a Sabbath or a fast. Good. Okay. Any last ones come to mind? How about the discipline of silence? The discipline of silence. How much silence have you had in your life in the last 7 days? This, remember what we're talking about here. Paying attention is about removing distractions. Do you have in your world anywhere? Most of us who go exercise, we have headphones in. Most of us who have a quiet time, we're listening to a podcast, a Bible on tape, or tape, digital Bible. How, have you had silence in your moments? There is something, you guys, that we were built for, to be able to hear God without those distractions, where we just have to stop incessantly talking. Let's practice right now. I'm going to give you some time. I literally want you to be quiet. Breathe. This is what you can do during silence, by the way. Here's a little training on silence. In silence, you can pray. So, and you can talk to God if you're feeling like you want to talk to God. You can listen to God if you want to listen. You can worship, meaning you can tell him all that he is, means to you, and you can rest. You can visualize Jesus saying something to you. You can go back to a past time in your life, some burden that you're carrying, and imagine Jesus being with you and speaking to you in that time. You can let go of some things. Just, Lord, here, take this. I often in my silent time visualize my backpack full of junk, and I take it off, and I'm pulling things out that are weighing me down, and I'm giving them to Jesus, and he's scooping them up in his lap. There's lots of things you can do with silence, but one of the things it does is it calms all the limbic system stuff, all the sympathetic nerves, para, who knows? It does great things in your brain. Let's just spend a minute with all the distractions of people around us, all the noises in the room. Let's still spend a moment in silence, and I'll call you back in a minute. Isn't that a gift? What happened for you? Did you fall asleep, Tom?
I did not.
You did not. Good, yeah. But you can, because sometimes that's the rest we need. What was that like for you? A couple of experiences, a couple of reactions. What happened for you there? What thoughts did you have during the time? What struggles was it? What was good? Love to hear a couple things. Yeah? You're a hiker, you love being outside, you think about him as a creator, it's part of worship in your soul, and you thought of him that way in your silent time. I like that. You went to your happy place. That's good. It's actually a really good thing. Yeah. What other experience did you have? Did you notice how well our children did? That was crazy. I thought, there's no way this is going to work. And with a little voice that happened, what'd you do with that? What'd you do with that time when you heard the voice? You loved it? Why did you love it?
It helped me. I don't know. It made me feel, remember that I'm a child of God.
It made you think, wow, look, what a great discipline. She said, it made me remember that I'm a child of God. What a great way to turn that back toward the experience, because you can't ever find perfect silence. Hardly ever. In my neighborhood, it's the garbage truck that comes 7 days a week, apparently. It's the leaf blowers. Are we not outlawing those things?
Yes.
What is happening? There's never silence. Most of us can hear the 101 from every one of our houses. Any other feedback from that experience? Was it good for anybody, surprisingly? Yeah? Cal?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, I just decided to listen.
Yeah.
And when you decide to listen and you don't really know what you're listening for, a lot of the things that you, especially for me that I'm procrastinating on and good things that I want to do, they come to the forefront of my mind.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know if it's God talking or me just realizing that there's a lot of good things I have to do that I've been, you know, just trying to put away.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they just come to the forefront.
That's good. Yep, and that happens in listening prayer, and we don't make too fine a distinction. Those of us that are followers of Jesus, the Spirit of Jesus lives in you. So when it comes to your mind, that's the Spirit of God talking to you. Mm. Hardly ever comes from out of nowhere. It comes from God using you, your thoughts, your sensitivities. Again, how do you get in touch with your grief if you're not feeling grief? How does the Holy Spirit not go, let's feel that, unless you're feeling it, like it's you, and it's the Spirit within you leading you there. Yeah, good. All right, we're going to wrap up two more. One, we didn't talk about solitude, did we? Solitude. It's a version of silence where we just stop using our words. Solitude is getting alone. Here's why this is important. Because when you're in solitude, you're not just asking the question, how am I doing? You get to start answering the question, asking and answering the question, who am I? Who am I when it's just me and God? Because we tend to define ourselves by all of our relationships, working, familial, codependent, dependent, healthfully independent, interdependent, all of them. But how about me and God? And getting alone is something that we can add to our lives. You see, all of these things are things that we can add to our lives in doable ways that help us pay attention. One last one. I'm having the band come out because we should talk about worship. Yay, thank you. We should talk about worship. Corporate worship, individual worship, but in particular corporate worship, it's so good when we get together and we focus on the Lord because it helps us pay attention. Now listen, you're like, oh, I just thought that was music for my entertainment. Oh, I just thought that was background for when I'm getting coffee. No, this is actually, Jim, we start right at 9, bro, right at 9. Did you get him a watch for Christmas? Here's what you can do during worship, you guys. During worship, you prepare your intention. Worship, we prepare our intention. Let's go through these slides, Micah, real quick as the band's getting ready to lead us into the song. We prepare our intention. What's our intention? I want to pay attention to you, God. I want to focus on you. I want to remove distractions. I'm present to speak and believe these words that I'm singing. And so come meet me in it. Do you prepare yourself for worship? How great would that be to be that intentional about it? You can notice what's happening during worship in your heart and your mind and your body and your emotions. Pay attention to those things during worship. When that is happening, what are you feeling? Are you grieving something? Are you excited about something? Is there something about God that's inspiring you? What's that all about? And what words or phrases are takeaways for you or jump out to you in worship? So when you sing a song, and you know, part of the time when we're singing songs, we're like, oh, I don't know, that's not a very, you know, like, I don't love the style of this song, or oh, I think I might have heard a mistake when Michael was playing guitar. That never happens. But you know, there's all kinds of distractions, but what we can do is focus on the words, and we can be like, What's this word? What's this word? What's happening? When I was a youth pastor, I could play three-chord youth pastor guitar back in the day. And I used to do this thing where I would stop the song. It was on overhead projectors. You remember overhead projectors with the clear thing? Like I would stop the song with the overhead projector on the wall, and I would say to middle schoolers, what phrase jumps out to you right now? What word's jumping out to you right now? That's something that God's speaking to us about. And then we can also be asking in worship, is there a takeaway? Is there something that I need to be? Is the Lord speaking to me about something in this? Was my heart touched? Was my mind touched? Was there a word for me? Is there something there that I can interact with? This is all about paying attention. I dare say we usually don't pay this good attention to the Lord and to our hearts in music worship. And this is a little bit of a refocus. In fact, before I finish my sermon, let's stand together and do that with this one worship song. Let's engage and pay attention.
Behold him, Jesus, Son.
Be seated, Tom. You can be seated. Thank you. I hope that was a good reminder and introduction to you again about what we can do when we come and worship music, that every single part of our gathering is intended to help us pay attention and check in and go, how goes my heart? How goes my walk? Where is God with me? Where am I with God? We're not good, you guys, at paying attention. So was there something that sparked you today? Some practice that needs to be put in your life in a doable way, as a New Year's resolution that would be good for your soul. The final behold verse I want to show you is from Revelation 3:20. You probably know it. In the NIV, it says, "Here I am." But the Greek word is oude, which is behold. Pay attention. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. It's Jesus saying, for the last time out of, how many did I say, 1,260 times? Pay attention. Listen. Look. Don't miss this. I'm waiting at the door of your heart. I'm knocking. I'm calling you. Invite me in, and I'll live with you. I'll walk with you. It's how we were designed to live, church. May this week between Christmas and New Year's be a time of reflection. And maybe there's one takeaway for you going into January 1st that you'll say, I'm going to add this thing to my life for a season to help us pay attention to our walks with God. Let's stand one more time and we'll close in music worship again.